Thank you, Mr. Chair, for giving Interpol with the floor. It is a pleasure to contribute to deliberations under this meeting of experts on strengthening national implementation. At Interpol's Bioterrorism Prevention Unit, we support law enforcement agencies to execute duties related to the prevention, preparedness, and response to biological incidents, in particular the misuse of biological agents by non-state actors. Although we represent the global law enforcement community, we are well aware that their success in mitigating biological threats is contingent on cooperation with the animal, plant, and public health communities, among others. This means that our work is carried out through an interagency approach, which we encourage in every aspect of our programming. For this meeting and its focus on national implementation, I would like to touch on three observations we have made throughout the course of our work on biological terrorism prevention. We hope these observations will bring a deeper understanding of what national implementation of the BWC and broader prohibitions on biological weaponry could consider from the law enforcement perspective. The first observation relates to legislation. This may seem unusual coming from a representative of law enforcement. However, in our scenario exercises with member countries, we consistently identify a lack of legislation on biocriminality or bioterrorism as a hindrance to law enforcement responses. Without legal definitions of such acts or related legislation, the investigative and prosecutorial process often cannot advance. Not only does this mean that suspects may not be brought to justice, it also means that future offenders may not be deterred. We must also work to ensure that in legislation there are well-defined mandates, tasks, and responsibilities for key stakeholders, including public health and law enforcement authorities. Mr. Chair, as Article 4 covers equipment, our second observation relates to the global trade in dual-use goods. We often find at the national level that the awareness of dual-use items and their potential nefarious applications is limited. This could be addressed in part through defining lists of bio-related dual-use items in national legislations, which is often lacking. Not only would this enhance national law enforcement's ability to monitor the illicit movement of such items, including on the darknet where we see an active marketplace, it would allow border police and customs authorities and others to control their import and export. In order to develop such a list or to better understand which dual-use items are likely to support illegal activities, we encourage collaboration with the academic and scientific communities. This dual-use threat is one of the increasing concern to us at Interpol. We will continue to roll out training activities to particular countries, which we see as high priority. My third and final observation is the need for effective law enforcement capabilities to monitor non-state actor activity. In our view, this could be seen as a key pillar of what it means to prevent the production or acquisition of biological agents, toxins, or weapons within the territory of a state in line with Article 4. There are multiple capabilities which law enforcement needs in order to do its work effectively, including secure multi-agency information sharing and frequent coordination, regular biological threat analysis as it relates to non-state actors, disease surveillance capabilities able to detect outbreak that could stem from the deliberate release of biological agents in human, animal, or plant populations, clear reporting mechanisms for such cases, and access to global information on modus operandi used by non-state actors and incidents from other countries. Mr. Chair, all of these elements and others from key components of our support to member countries, but we take this opportunity to emphasize their importance in this meeting of experts. I will touch more specifically on Interpol's efforts under MX4. Thank you very much.